Welcome back to the TKO Show with Kara Rowe. Thanks so much for joining me. Great show today. We're going to talk about pot. You hear it so much in the news nowadays with legalizations in a variety of states, legalization across Canada. So, and there's some concerns. Questions, concerns, but I think education is one of the big things because I'm an anti-pot person. So let me just put it out there. However, it is not because I don't believe it has medical uses. It's just because when you grow up and you're told something is illegal, in your brain, it's bad, right? And I think that's why education is just so important to kind of open the brains up of people like me that are kind of like the anti-pot people. And I really appreciate learning a lot more about it because I do understand the necessity for some people out there that that do have medical concerns or that are struggling, or maybe some people that say, hey, on the weekend, it's a Friday night, this is what I want to do as opposed to drinking. So it's one of those kind of that shift of our mindset when something, had pot been legal this whole time and alcohol illegal, I probably would have that opposite mindset. So it's always great to learn a little more about it. We'll talk about that during this half hour. Then at 1:35, author and fitness enthusiast Jen Oliver will join us, and we're going to talk about love, being Valentine's Day tomorrow, and how to be in love with yourself, how much that shifts your thinking, and what are the results because of that, whether that be the relationship with your children, relationship with your spouse, or relationship with yourself. So we're going to get into that as well, and we'll talk a little Valentine's Day mood music as well. What not to play tomorrow if you want to get lucky, and what to play if you want to get lucky. So joining me to talk about this, will marijuana offer the cure to the nation's opioid crisis? I did a little bit of research, and I was seeing in 2017, over 63,000 Americans died from opioid issues, and over 4,000 Canadians died from opioid crisis. So joining me, Dr. Shivani Amin. She specialized in pain management, and with the advent of the legalization of medical cannabis in Maryland, Dr. Amin has quickly become a leading authority on the responsible use and certification of marijuana for its medical benefits. As a registered cannabis physician in the state of Maryland, Dr. Amin has made it her goal to help educate the public on the compassionate and responsible use of medicinal marijuana as an option for treatment. And what's really fascinating, the more I Google different things like that, the medicinal purposes, and you see somebody, it could be someone that has minor seizures, it could be someone that their pain is intolerable, and then they smoke a little pot or they have an edible, and all of a sudden things change. It kind of opens your mind a little bit. So Dr. Amin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I'm excited to talk about this because people can convince me and educate me, that's like, it's a big feat. Growing up, you thought about the traditional potheads, and so you got that, and you knew it was illegal, so you kind of got that, a little bit of a disdain for it. But I feel like the more we're getting educated on it, it opens our mind up to, you know, people who really need this or the necessity for it, or, you know, we don't have to look as poorly upon them, or they don't receive that kind of stereotype where it's the pothead mentality.
Right. And I'm actually glad you bring that up because there's obviously still is a stigma to marijuana. And it's unfortunate because a lot of older people, just because of the stigma from the past, don't want to touch it. And then it's like, it's exactly what you say. You need the education because it does have medicinal benefits and it has a lot. And I've seen it firsthand being a physician and recommending it to not older, just the older population, but even children. And so, I mean, I think people need to realize that it's not just the THC, which is what we think of when we think of the plant that gives you that, you know, euphoric feeling. But, you know, there's another chemical compound called CBD that's extremely anti-inflammatory, helps with pain, seizures, that doesn't cause that high, among many other chemical compounds to the plant that even doctors are still finding out about because we don't completely understand this plant.
Now, that's got to be a little bit frustrating because you see the benefits, you know, with some cases and medical concerns, but there isn't that much research. And why is there such a lack of research?
Well, I think it's because of the fact that it has been federally illegal, and it's just whatever. There have been 2 to 3 universities in the United States that have tried to do research on the plant, but unfortunately they don't get enough funding from the government. And so their research studies are just, they don't produce the results that we need. So most of the research actually has come from Israel and Europe. But, you know, unfortunately, because there's so much to know about the plant, there's so much more research that needs to be done. But the good thing is, you know, as more and more states are becoming legal for medicinal purposes, people will start to have, like, their own trials and research studies within their clinics, as well as nationwide, even in Canada. I mean, I believe you guys are recreational there in starting July.
Right.
So more and more research will be coming through.
Now, for your experience, it's really interesting you mentioned kids, because obviously we think we don't want to give kids drugs. But then again, we may be giving them other kind of drugs that are, you know, have greater issues. Tell us, when a child receives, you know, marijuana for help, what kind of issues are they experiencing that marijuana actually helps with?
It's mainly the children I've treated, mainly are children that are autistic, have cancer, and epilepsy. Those are the three things that I've treated them with. And the way they take in the marijuana is through sublingually through a tincture that they just put underneath their tongue.
And so obviously it's not, the THC isn't a part of that?
It is. Depending on what condition you're treating, if it's cancer, a certain form of cancer, usually those tinctures contain a one-to-one ratio of THC and CBD, but they need it for appetite and nausea and things like that. So because obviously their immune systems are a little bit weaker, so they need that natural component of the THC to help with certain aspects of the condition.
So for a child that's autistic, what does marijuana do for them? Like when it's prescribed to them, what is it doing in their brain, or what is it controlling? How does it help them?
So what we're finding is it's mainly the CBD that tends to help them, because CBD is neuroprotective, meaning it helps the brain kind of repair and regenerate cells. And so for these children, autistic children, it calms them down so they're less anxious and they can communicate better. So that's mainly one of the main functions that we're finding.
And can a child, like, is this just, you're in Maryland, so is it prescribed to children there? Like, can they legally get marijuana?
Yes. Well, it's not a prescription because it is federally illegal. So it works a little bit differently. It's a recommendation. So a child would come in with their legal guardian, and then they would show medical records of why the parent believes the child would benefit from cannabis. And you take a look at those records, and then you write a recommendation. And it's not a prescription. So it's not like you're handing them a prescription stating, you know, you should take this form of marijuana and then go to a pharmacy.
Right.
It's just a recommendation that, yes, this child qualifies for medicinal cannabis due to autism, due to epilepsy, or whatever the condition is. And then they go to a dispensary to purchase product.
So for a child with epilepsy, mm-hmm. there's probably an overstimulation in the brain, which causes a seizure. Is it that slowing down of that interaction, or what's happening in an epileptic, like a child's brain?
Right. So it's basically just overfiring of your cells in your brain. And so what the cannabis does in the brain is it basically stops those cells from overfiring and calms them down, and also helps the cells in the brain to kind of repair themselves. So it prevents another seizure from actually happening.
Now, is there a difference between that and prescribing them medication? Like, does medication, like actual prescription drugs, do something different in their brain?
Prescription drugs do pretty much do the same thing. However, they can have side effects,
right,
like any medication can have. And the reason the opioids became such a big problem is because they have some serious side effects, which it can shut down your breathing and, you know, obviously cause you to die. And it's interesting you bring that up today, because just a couple of days ago, one of the pharmaceutical companies here in the United States that makes a long-acting opioid decided that they're going to take it off the market and have their reps not go into physicians' offices anymore and recommend it for patients, because they themselves are now aware that this has become a huge, huge problem.
Now, obviously, you think too about opioids is the addictive nature of it. Is that like the major difference too between cannabis and the opioids?
Sure. I mean, you know, if somebody's smoking marijuana like 7 times a day, every day, sure, that can become addictive, but anything can, right? I mean, even alcohol, sugar, caffeine, anything can be addictive. So it's for me, my whole thing is to educate the public about the safe and effective use of cannabis, and mainly for conditions that actually need it. And so I always tell patients, you know, educate yourselves about the condition you have, talk to your physician, because I'm not recommending it to just take it every single day off the streets or whatnot, which, you know, people are going to do. You can't prevent people from doing things. And so, I mean, like I said, anything can become addictive.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like people who smoke always say it's not addictive. Like, it's always been a thing that there's always like, well, it's not addictive and it's not a gateway drug. And, and I was like, well, if it's something you're doing every day, there's got to be some addictive qualities. Like, that's a curiosity for me. Now, when it comes to smoking versus edible or an oil, what are the differences mm-hmm. between those, and do they have a different impact in terms of effectiveness?
So in terms of effectiveness, no, but it's more so how quickly your body absorbs it. So if you're smoking, it goes straight into your bloodstream within a couple of minutes. Edibles they're unpredictable because they can be anywhere from like 2 hours to like 30 minutes, the onset. It just really depends on if you have like a brownie where the majority of the plant is kind of baked into that brownie. So it's a little bit more difficult to tell. And tinctures, obviously, within a couple of minutes get straight absorbed into your bloodstream as well.
Now, you say there's 200 strains of marijuana. How is that possible? Because it's coming from a plant, but is it just what it's combined with? Or is it just different strains, like there are different plants out there?
Yeah, so it really just depends on the chemical compound of the plant, like the percentage of THC, the percentage of CBD, okay. The percentage of all the other chemical compounds. So it's kind of why the plants are named with different strains. I don't particularly go by strain names because, you know, one strain from a dispensary called Blue Dream could give you a completely different effect versus, you know, the same strain you get from a different dispensary. And that's just because they were grown by two different people.
Now, so that's interesting. That's interesting right there, because if, let's say, for example, my friend and I both have the same condition and we go to different dispensaries or we get different products, it could be working for her and not for me. And it could be due to how it was raised, like how it was grown.
Well, right. So it's basically the components of, that's why I'm saying I go by the chemical compounds, the percentages of that in that particular strain, which every dispensary now lists out anyway. So you all know, like, if you get a Blue Dream from one dispensary that's treating your pain and it's like, I don't know, like 20% THC, and then you go to another dispensary and they're calling their strain Blue Dream as well, but it has 15% of THC, you could be getting a different medical, like, reaction versus your friend.
So would your suggestion be like, if it doesn't work, try either again or try someplace different, you know, kind of, you know, with a lot of different things you experiment till you find what solution works for you?
Yes, definitely. And I mean, you know, the good thing about the state of Maryland and everywhere in the United States as well as Canada is it's regulated. So it's regulated by the state. You have to put on, when you go into a dispensary, you will see on the package how much of that THC is in that particular strain you're getting, how much of CBD is in there. You know, you get the full, like, entire breakdown of that plant when you buy it. So you're well aware of what you're taking in.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Shivani Amin. She's specialized in pain management, and now with the legalization of medical cannabis in Maryland, she's quickly become a leading authority on the responsible use and certification of marijuana for its medicinal benefits. And we're learning more and more, and I think it's expanding in terms of who it can help, and hopefully, like, working very hard to, you know, destigmatize it a little bit. Now, in terms of the THC, is there a reason to take the THC out? Are there circumstances where you take it out because you're just looking for the effects of the CBD, for example?
I've never actually done it that way, just because I believe that the plant works together to produce
okay.
what we call an entourage effect. So, you know, a lot of times you could get a particular strain that has extremely, extremely high levels of CBD and minimal THC, but you're still controlling your pain really well, because together they work extremely well for pain control, and you don't get that psychoactive high that you would get if you had an extremely high level of a THC strain.
Oh, so it's like vitamin C and D together. You almost need one to absorb the other. It like works well
right
together. Oh, that's so interesting. So the best place for people to find more information, greenhealthdocs.com?
Correct.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Amin, for your time today. Again, Dr. Amin specializes in pain management and has become a leading authority on the responsible use and certification of marijuana for its medicinal benefits. You can find more information online, greenhealthdocs.com. There's a frequently asked questions section as well if you're trying to learn a little bit more. And I think the more we educate, the more we find out. I like the idea of, hey, we found something a little more natural that maybe can help. And when you talk about kids especially, and you think about, you know, kids with cancer, kids that are autistic, kids with epilepsy, and it can help them, that's I feel like that's really exciting as well. And with the legalization, a lot more funding for research, so some kind of cool stuff ahead of us. We're going to talk a little bit more, and in the second half, loving yourself. It's Valentine's Day tomorrow. It's Kara Rowe on the TKO Show.
You can call us.